Hello and welcome to this spoilerific episode of Senseless, or sorry, Mr. Verano and Senseless present DPIY, where DIY is not what we're good at, but fuck it, it's how we make our podcast. With me, I'm the Senseless Apprentice. With me is my co-host, Mr. Verano.
Hey, hey, how's it going? Yes, well, as you can see, we don't exactly do a full clean show without mistakes. And not too bad. If you're listening to it, you already know that's how we roll. And so let's go on with our reactionary episode.
Yeah, so this one's another one of our spoiler-filled, warning now type episodes.
But yeah, if you haven't seen Shang-Chi by now, you're just sad because it's been out for a while.
Basically, to be less, to seem like, you know, less like dicks as we are, you know, we wait a while so that you don't, we hope that you've actually seen the whatever it is, if you actually have any interest in watching it. So this time it's Shang-Chi and the What If. So yeah. Which one do you want to start with?
You know what? What If? Just there's a lot more, and I feel like if we don't do it first, I'm gonna miss pieces in my head about it.
All right. So, how did you feel about What If?
I honestly thought it was great how towards the end they really tied all the different stories. I really didn't know where it was going. I thought it was just random episodes kind of going. I was like, so cool. I like the whole time.
I like the last two episodes and how they tied everything together. And there were some shining spots in the rest of the season, you know, that basically you find out or establishing an entire team. But before that, like, I just kept thinking about how it was exactly like the What If comics that I've read, you know, where it's kind of like, you know, the story where everything turns out right because it's the one we wrote. So what if this one thing was changed and everything's fucked, you know, like it just always seems like that, where it never turns out as well. I've got one where like Spider-Man decides to kill a spider god, and so he doesn't find his way back to the real world, and some malevolent personality called Poison takes over, and he's like, I'm so lonely. But then he, you know, it ends with him putting Mary Jane into a cocoon to become exactly like him as like this evil parasite thing.
Oh, damn, that's a pretty deep and dark story right there.
I know. And that's What If.
The only one I didn't care for as much is just a zombie one, but I'm just not a fan of zombies.
Yeah, I've never, I've watched the zombie movies, but this genre's never done it for me.
Yeah, same here. But it was, I think overall, I liked the nice twist to each character, like even Black Panther being really Star-Lord. I was like, oh,
well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a what it, I found the back door to Scarlet Witch, or not Scarlet, fuck. Black Widow coming back was a little unnecessary.
Yeah,
you know, it was basically like, yeah, we're gonna, it was kind of like in video form they admitted they fucked her over.
They kind of did.
They were just like, yeah, we'll create a backdoor in case you ever want to come back, even though we know you don't want to come back. So this is just our kind of changing the narrative in our favor.
Those pricks. But no, I thought her into it also was nice. I was like, oh shit, snaps! That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked. I also liked Party Thor and what do they call the other one? Strange Supreme.
Yeah, like, Party Thor. That was pretty good. Deathly afraid of his mom. He's like, you guys don't get it. Have to help me clean up.
Yeah, I mean, it's overall, it's a really good show. It's got some bright spots. I'd probably give it a B plus.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think there's some gaps there. I mentioned about certain characters. I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, and like we said, it's just kind of the straight up tone of what ifs. Like, of course they don't want to put over the story too much because they want to read the main storyline. They want you to want to see the main thing. And this is like a, what if we'd done things slightly differently? Look at how shitty it would be if we weren't so good at our jobs.
True. But each story was really, that was well done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well done art, well done direction. And Jeffrey Wright is the watcher. I mean, come on.
Yeah. He's really good. I like that the watcher kind of finally had to get into it a little bit.
I love these people who can jump from company to company because you know he's going to be Commissioner Gordon in the Batman movie with Pattinson.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, that'll be cool. Oh, yeah. Fandom happened.
Hmm?
All that fandom happened. DC's little convention. All the trailers were released and shit. Did you see the Batman one?
I saw that. Trailer is a slight bit for Black Adam, and I was like, that's badass.
Yeah, they find that movie was only announced before Donald Trump was president.
Damn, it's been a while.
They fucking cast The Rock, and then did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he worked hard to try and get in to find the end, so that's great, but I was like, sheesh.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing it, though. I mean, shit. Be an interesting anti-hero movie.
Yeah, actually, definitely will.
Then what else was there? Peacemaker looks okay.
I never cared for John Cena, so I didn't care to watch the trailer.
We're going to be the living embodiment of the arena. I'll be Let's Go Cena. You be Cena sucks.
Yes, exactly. Every time. He's Peacemaker. No, Cena sucks. Cena sucks.
Oh man, yeah. We'll just be that every time. I mean, I'm gonna watch it. Fuck it. Steve Agee's cool.
I mean, you will. I won't. Eternals, yeah. Spider-Man and Batman, possibly. Peacemaker, hell no.
Spider-Man looks like they're pulling out all the stops. But I love how everybody's trying to forget about how Marvel walked away from the table in 2019. They're all just coming into it and acting like, oh yeah, this is going to be huge, look at how great they're doing, and it's just that everybody forgets that Marvel was 2 years ago was like, ah, fuck you, and then, you know, AT&T bought out Warner Video and or Warner Media, and Marvel was like, oh, Sony, let's totally tie ourselves together, which is why, you know, I kept pushing you to see Venom, but, you know, no spoilers.
Yeah, I know. I still haven't watched it, and I've really been meaning to, so it's killing me not
to. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you anything. Anyway, so, yeah, fandom happened. What If was a show. Solid B-plus of a show. You know, A for everything but storyline. They really bring up the storyline after on the last two, but up until the last two, you sit there and feel like, oh, this is exactly like what If comics were, and that was always just, you know, not as great as the main storyline.
Some aspects kind of seemed like it could have been better, but yeah, sure.
But like everything else about that show is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I really like the graphics. I like the color scheme of everything.
Yeah. And then the main event that we're here to mention is the movie that if you haven't seen it yet, you know, I guess you're waiting for Disney Plus to eventually have it because you know they will. But, you know, Shang-Chi was fucking tremendous.
I enjoyed pretty much that whole movie. Definitely the soundtrack. I think every song that they had for the movie just really fit it well. Great fight scene, great characters, just kind of Easter eggs. Having Wong in there fighting was just hysterical to me.
No, everyone they had in there, I mean, even if I feel like they're starting to set up the next teams, you know, like they don't want to, they can't, they've got to let actors retire and stuff like that. So they're starting to set up the next groups. And okay, I feel like
that's fine because it's good to have other characters kind of pop up and finally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just my thing is what's up with okay, their Hawkeye replacement's gonna be Awkwafina, who's just, you know, really fucking good with a bow and arrow.
Hey, she's funny, but yeah, I don't know about that.
Like, no training. It's just like, yeah, okay, you can fight in the battle because fuck it. But it works because that's the tone of the movie. Like, it's got that full-hearted comedy. You know, Simu Liu is believable both when he's serious and fighting and then when he's just lighthearted and kind. You know, it was, and I mean, I watched, like, even the scenes where, you know, his mother and father meet in the garden are beautiful, amazing fight scenes with great choreography. You know, it's just a spectacular movie. It's I kept watching it like the old Jet Li and Jackie Chan, and even, you know, Kill Bill and all those martial arts movies that were coming out in the late 90s, early aughts that we were watching as kids. You know, someone with a lot more money than even the studios that made those was just like, let's make the best one we can.
It really showed, like, the fight scenes were really crisp, really well done, and it was believable. Yeah, like, he had a lot of training. I thought that was pretty badass.
Believable as much as a movie that ends with a giant dragon fight can be.
Yeah, that kind of was like, all right. I like dragons, so I was like, this is pretty badass.
But that's the thing, is to people who haven't seen the movie, like, I can't really explain why it feels like, oh, we found our Iron Man for the next phase.
Yeah.
But, like, he gets dragon scale armor that is basically invulnerable on everything but his face and his arms. So, you know, and then to protect those, he's got those 10 rings that, unlike the 10 rings in the comics that are actual finger rings that, like, you know, have different powers to them.
Big ass just like arm bracelet.
Well, he's got these bracelets that basically have some kind of weird connection that can make him, you know, shoot some energy out of his hands, but also swing like Spider-Man in a way. Like, it's the ambiguous, hey, here's how we'll make our next Iron Man. His power center will be his hands, and he'll have invulnerable armor in some way.
Yeah, and he does. And it's pretty badass. Where Miles is like, because I also thought the rings would be the finger rings, not bracelets on each arm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. But I love how they played with the sort of, you know, racist backstory for the Mandarin, where even the character who's supposed to be playing him's like, they named me after a fucking
fruit,
Americanized food dish.
Oh, it's true. That was like, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was that. I mean, those it's full of good humor and great. I mean, every actor in there has. It just brings something amazing to the table. Even the comic relief. Like, I'm criticizing the writing, not the actress, when I pick on the whole, you know, okay, she's a fucking amazing archer, I guess. But Awkwafina was good in the movie as well. Just, you know, I'm okay with her sticking around. She's funny as hell.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of funny how she's the more Americanized one who, like, struggles slightly to understand the language. So it's just funny how the main character, like, talks with her grandma. And you know what's going on. She's kind of looking at it going, like, why? Why are you going to do that to me?
But they're such good friends. He's just like he won't leave her behind or anything. He's, you know, it's just they're heartwarming as a pair.
Yeah, they are. It was really good.
So, yeah, I mean, excellent choreography, excellent music, excellent humor. You know, it's hard. The crazy thing is because, you know, I watched martial arts movies. I didn't really read the martial arts comics, so I went into this movie without much exposure to the character. And so, unlike a lot of times when I can be like, "Oh yeah, I read that," like I've got nothing. I didn't read Shang-Chi before I went and saw this movie. I didn't read much of what he was in.
I'm in the same boat as you. Nothing, but I thought the presentation of the movie was great, and the introduction of his character and the backstory was just really good. I mean,
yeah.
So, no, for not knowing the character at all, I enjoyed every aspect of this movie, which is not something that we would always say.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I went and saw Venom and thought it was a thoroughly average movie.
That's like, what I'd someone told me as well, and they never read anything on Venom, and I'm like shit.
I'm pressuring the hell out of you, but I'm pressuring the hell out of you just because I want to talk about it in one of these shows. Because there
and don't
is...
worry, dear listener. What? It'll be the next episode.
Well, yeah, next episode we've got, you know, our next issue based episode, so we've got to talk about almost getting to the midway point of Cable and Deadpool, even though, you know, Cable's gonna fucking leave. And that's when the comic gets better. That's the sad part.
Ooh, shame to lose one of your main people on a title, but it gets better.
Well, he went on to be a huge portion of the X-Men Messiah series. So, like, he goes on to better things too, but it leads to Cable and Deadpool kind of being a Deadpool solo title for, like, the last part of the run. And, like, then comes the Danny Way run of Deadpool where, you know, it starts out in Secret Invasion and just hilarious all the way through.
Well, it sounds like it'll be good, and that is what we will eventually get going to, and you guys will be listening to us about.
Yeah, but until then, I mean, I'm just going to keep needling you about Venom.
Yes, I know you are, so screw you about that. I will get to it, and I will watch it. It is a
thoroughly average movie that I want you to waste your money to see so we can talk about it.
I will find, like, a nice, cheap theater to go watch it so I don't waste too much.
And then you'll get to find out the answer to the question, did making a Carnage movie, which should be rated R, PG-13, pay off?
I will want to see no.
Because you know they won't let Deadpool's special boy Spider-Man, and that's a Gwenpool reference for all you comic book readers, you know they won't let Spider-Man be in anything tainted by an R rating. So, you know, did the Carnage gambit of making... I mean, because fuck, Carnage is an unrepentant serial killer who gets a symbiote that literally is just like born and then bonded to him. So essentially a powerful, also serial killer. And they were like, you know what this movie needs is a PG-13 rating, because makes sense with Cletus Cassidy. He'll hold back.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think there's a mistake right there. But, you know, I'm not the one that worked on the movie or any of that nonsense.
I find it ironic. The way they make sure that it's PG-13 is they just, you know, don't put the blood in where you know that it should be. Like, my favorite example is X-Men 2, because there's this one scene that always sticks in my mind where in front of a child, Wolverine pops his claws and sticks six huge knives straight into this invading guy's chest. And all I can think is, holy shit, that perforated lungs. And that is PG-13 because no blood.
Huh, I'd have to look back to that, but I think you're right. For sure. That is
he runs through and swings his claws through someone's head, but it's in the dark, so
yeah.
It's just, it's fucking ridiculous. American sensibilities, man.
Oh, damn. That's terrible.
But yeah, they do that in Venom too.
I definitely got to watch it.
Yeah.
But now to recap it, I guess, on this. What If was great. We both give it, I think, about a B+.
Yep.
And Shang-Chi, honestly, if you haven't seen it now, it's a pure shame. That's one that I would even have to put money to watch twice. And I really don't see any about many superhero movies anymore.
It's kind of up there with Guardians and Ragnarok for me. It's got good humor. It's one of the better ones.
There was so much going on, I could actually enjoy watching it again, because I'll find something I totally missed.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Black Widow because of David Harbour, but definitely takes over. Definitely is better than Black Widow out of the two offerings so far this season.
Yeah, Shang-Chi definitely hits it out of the park.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does it for this episode, and I thank you for our dear listener. Hopefully it's listeners. We will be coming with a full episode next time that will be on Cable and Deadpool.
Yep. And we'll be starting a new story. We're finally done with Bosom Buddies.
Are Cable we?
Has... Yeah, finally. Oh, my God. And they revealed Comcast, man. Or, I mean, Black Box. He was Comcast, because everybody knows who the fuck that is. Took so long to tell us that. And then all he becomes is a conduit for Cable's new telepathy.
That's, yeah, they totally screwed him there.
Oh, no. I'm not telling you much more, but they totally, that's not where they totally screw him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He gets fucked before the end of Cable and Deadpool.
Oh, damn.
And not in a good way.
Well, that is for next time. And I thank you guys for listening to us.
All right. Have a good week or something.
Yeah.
So right about this time, some shithead's going to be drawing a fat fucking line on the corner of, I don't know, some mirror of their phone. And if you get that reference, you listen to some pretty shitty music just like me. But we don't usually do this, but we're back again just after we finish the recording of the other episode, or the other part of the episode, for a fun current events discussion.
Yeah, you're doing current events. Guess going with Eternals to a degree.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been interesting seeing the Eternals score on Rotten Tomatoes get, I guess, whined about on Instagram. It's been kind of funny. I mean, you know, Verano's been there, you know, as I've had this discussion with so many people about how I don't think the DC movies are as bad as people say they are. I don't think the Marvel movies are as good as people say they are. And
I disagree with you. I'm totally for that. Marvel has totally kicked DC's ass. But on the other hand, DC does very good shows.
You have to remember that my whole point is just that I think they're all kind of the same shit in a different toilet.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still saying Marvel rules.
Eh. Marvel's all right. It does its own share of pandering and, you know, blowing their own shit out of proportion. Or at least the fandoms do. But true. For a while, Rotten Tomatoes was totally the Marvel fans' backup. And it's been funny to watch them make the same argument. So, like, going on to any of these social media sites and watching the shit that they're posting, it's been hilariously ironic to watch them. And I'm not even like I don't fucking care about either side. They both make good shitty movies that I enjoy to watch, but you know, they're not. This isn't cinema verite. This isn't something special. It's fucking comic book movies. Tentpole blockbusters were never meant to be amazing, amazing stories. And these are, you know, they're fun movies to watch, but fandoms have been blowing this shit.
Yeah, no, they've been great to watch.
Enjoy them every time.
Yeah. And there have been bad ones, objectively. Joss Whedon's Justice League sucked. Oh, and so did Dark Phoenix.
And, I never even bothered to watch Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, so the buyout of Fox from Disney had happened around the time that movie was being made. And you can tell the production company went, you know, fuck it, squeeze the blood out of that X-Men stone. It was not a. But you
they
know,
tried. They tried.
Oh yeah, well, some people paid to see it and were sorely disappointed. And it's nothing against the actors, and the actors and the people who were involved in the creative side can't help the, you know, half-assed production because of budget cuts and stuff like that. Like, nobody gave a shit. It was not meant to be a good movie. It was the studio was selling the properties off anyway. So yeah, but it's just been funny to watch the irony. But to be serious, as a message to all the tried and true Marvel fans out there who are going to watch Eternals and find out that, hey, it's not the dismal piece of crap that Rotten Tomatoes makes it out to be. You're 100% right. It's not. It's I haven't seen it yet, but I plan to see it. It's probably going to be a good movie, and you can't really trust sensationalist critical analysis. You know, modern day payola is out there. Yeah. It doesn't take much for a billion-dollar company to send a few gifts to a critic who makes a six-figure salary. You know, like, they may be comfortable, but they're not above taking some of them aren't above taking the gifts that might, you know, kind of quote-unquote sway their opinion about a given property. And, you know, it's not surprising that the first real dismal rating comes shortly after Disney has a, you know, bigger company to look up to on the competition. No, go ahead. Sorry. I've been monologuing.
I actually have seen Eternals. I liked it. But yeah, for anyone who kind of pays a little too much attention to critics, just don't.
Yeah.
Go watch it. It's really worth the time. It was really well done, I think.
Yeah. I'm still going to fucking see it. I just, you know... You get busy and shit, and so fuck it. I don't get to be gifted free passes to a movie because we don't have enough followers to really be a blip on anybody involved in these movies' radar. So, you know, I'll get to see it when I see it, but you know, I'm gonna go see it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck about. I didn't give a fuck about those aggregate ratings when it came to the DC movies, and I honestly don't give a fuck about them now. So. That's my only advice to fans of any comic book movies. Remember, comic books are pulp. They're meant They're, you know, some get deep, but they're not meant to be, you know, fucking Tolstoy. Like, this isn't Shakespeare we're reading here, people. And, you know, when we watch the movies based on it, let's have a little bit of perspective. They're fun to watch, but we all like shitty stuff. And just because it's fun doesn't mean it's, like, that amazing that it needs devotion.
No, it never will be to certain degrees, but yeah, enjoy what you enjoy. Other people really enjoy the Halloween movie. I don't care for them. Some people would like DC more than Marvel. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it was a different tone. That was the thing. I could appreciate both tones. That's why Joss Whedon's movie sucked, because it was Avengers with DC characters. I didn't go to see a Justice League movie because I wanted the cookie cutter Avengers shit. Although I did like it when they basically made, you know, Suicide Squad Guardians with a Rambo background.
That was cool.
Like, you know, so I guess I'm a fucking hypocrite too. Anyway. Yeah, we just popped in for this shitty half-baked PSA and to try to reassure some people that, you know, these movies are, they are what they are, and watch them for what you watch them for, and have fun, and stop getting so pissed off about them.
Yeah, I mean, just enjoy what it is. Some people didn't think Shang-Chi would be great. I did, and it came out awesome. Enjoying Eternals, you may like it, you may think it's meh, but I mean, that's definitely a movie worth possibly watching a second time out of theaters, but definitely watch a second time.
Yeah, it looks epic, and that's fine. Take a big swing, you know. I can't talk much because, you know, this is like Venom. Have you fucking seen Venom yet?
No, I need to. I'm going to see if I can maybe try and watch that this weekend. I think there's like a couple of theaters that still have like one or two showing.
I mean, man, I want to ruin the ending for you.
Yeah, you would. You definitely would. You suck.
It's been, I mean, I'm terrible at that. That's why we wait a few weeks before we months before we release these things about different properties, because fuck, I spoil everything.
Yeah, you do.
My wife's still mad at me about Dark Knight Rises.
What did you tell her?
Okay, so you know how Bane has, they have the stock exchange scene where it pans across the back of Bane's bald head, and there's a scar that's, I can't remember which drawing it was, but there's this designed scar that they linger on. And then right before, you know, that's during the stock exchange scene. And then later on in the first or second act, it's after the bridges have been blown, and I forget her name, but Marion Cotillard's character is about to sleep with Bruce Wayne on the, you know, they've been burning, I don't know, books in his fireplace or whatever, and pans across her back, and she has a similar scar, and I'd known that Talia al Ghul was supposed to be in the movie in some way, but I didn't know how. And so I nudged my wife and said, "Oh, she's a bad guy."
Oh, you're such a badass.
She's still like, I don't think we've seen a comic book movie together since. She's still mad at me.
Damn, that's been years. You really ruined that.
We watch them together on like the streaming services afterwards. So like I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp in the theaters, and I definitively remember watching that with her on HBO or not, on Disney Plus.
There you go.
So you know, we And now with the kids, I at least get to justify it by going, you know, oh yeah, I gotta watch it for the podcast. And she's like, ah, okay. So.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's part of the reason why we release these so far after the properties come out, is because I will spoil, as you can tell, fucking Verano has done a great job of kind of explaining how he felt about Eternals without ruining anything. I would have told you shit.
People die. That's all I can say.
Oh, that fucking happens in every movie.
I know. That's why it's fun to just throw it, because it doesn't change anything.
Thanos comes back and they cut him in half again.
In your dreams. In your dreams.
Just like in What If.
Yep, there you go.
I don't know. I'm going to take a wild swing at the fence, because I know it has to do with the Celestials, and say that Apocalypse shows up just for the fucking fun of it. And we'll see if that comes true. You can't tell me. No, you're not the spoiler.
You'll be in for a good surprise. That's for sure.
I knew it. Apocalypse shows up. All right. For those of you who don't know, it's because I'm making this accusation because they ran a storyline a few, I don't know how long ago, called Age of Apocalypse, probably about 10 years ago. And it was so Matthew Rissman in the comics, in the main continuity, is head of the Purifiers, which are an anti-mutant bigot group that go around killing mutants as many times as they can. In fact, if you've watched X-Men 2, William Stryker is not military. He's more like an allegory for a revival minister that uses God as the justification for killing mutants. So Matthew Rissman is that. Well, in Age of Apocalypse, Matthew Rissman is a freedom fighter who is fighting against the new Apocalypse. And it comes from the actual Age of Apocalypse from like the mid-90s. And so it's these human freedom fighters fighting against the new Apocalypse, who took over after the old Apocalypse was killed. And it's Wolverine. And the reason why is because at some point he found out that like Apocalypse was just acting on the orders of the Celestials to prepare the world for their coming. And so that's why when I heard that that's why I'm taking the swing for the fences, and I'm picking on Verano for being too nice of a person to spoil this for us. Give it a few episodes, I'll spoil the shit out of it for all y'all.
yeah you will, you suck.
Anyway, thank you for putting up with this addendum. I know it got obnoxious and preachy for a little bit. That's what we get for going off script and trying something new.
What? This is fun. I don't know what you're talking about.
You did a good job. I got a little fucking proverb. I don't know what the word is.
Don't be harsh on yourself. You're doing fine. Until next time, we'll have a different episode. It'll definitely be back on our story. And
no, it won't. Remember, it won't. Oh, since we just ended Bosom Buddies, which honestly, I did not remember it being that not great. But since we just finished that, we found an annual that came out about 3 years ago. That is actually pretty fun. So we figured this was as good a time as any to, throw in a extra size annual instead of starting right into the next new story.
So yeah, scratch what I said. We're going with a little side story, and we'll eventually go back to our normal.
Oh, we will. We're literally halfway through. I think we just got through 24 or 25, and there's only 50 issues.
There we go.
It's about to get good when Cable goes away. Before that, we get a lot of different tie-ins and shit.
Yeah.
We get a Civil War.
For all those listeners or listener, thank you for listening to this. And hope to hear from you or at any point. Give us some feedback.
Or not, whatever. We'll just keep recording and, you know, annoying the people who do stumble upon us.
Yep. Hope they love it.
Have a good night.
Night.